Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and reconvene this meeting. This time I think we're prepared to go ahead and take public comment on the Comstock Mining's request for the amendment on the existing special use permit. Like to speak?
Yes.
Come up to the podium. All persons who wish to testify today, when you reach the podium, if you'll identify yourself so that the clerk will have your name for the record. And you'll have three minutes to go ahead and...
It won't take me long. My name is Carrie Thompson Check. I live up off of Slippery Gulch Road. I'm a neighbor of Mr. Cox. I was hoping that we could leave the amendment open on the place where is the we can go like 500 feet within Mr. Cox's residence. Since I live here, Mr. Cox lives here, and my father lives around the corner. I'm also speaking for my dad, Daniel Bowers, which cannot be here today. We want the Comstock to be here. We do. And at any time, if there's any way that the Mr. Corrado and stuff like that, the Comstock Mining needs to put some place and put some their overburden. We do have some property that we could use to fill to upgrade our property to, instead of, because the house is like this, the rest of the property kind of goes slanting downhill. Because I live behind Sheriff Jerry, and there's a ravine right there. We want to be able to build it up so we can make it flat and stuff like that so we can do more improvements on the land. And to be able to leave it open, the 500 feet is not feasible. I understand where he's coming from, but he knows that we live in a wind-prone area, which we are a tunnel. No matter what we do, we're going to get dust, wind, no matter what. Every time that these guys blast, nothing comes over to over in our direction or anything. We are in a wind-prone area, but we want to be able to keep this open so we can have a discussion on it. We are still not within the realms of whatever Mr. Cox wants. And so we can just bring it back and discuss this again once it does come up that the Comstock wants to bring some overburden to both our properties, my father's and ours. So. That's about it.
I believe this came up at the...
It has. It's been coming up for quite a while, yes.
...commission meeting, did it not, and was discussed. So, is Austin here?
Yep.
Yes.
Is there any comment on how that was resolved, Austin, from the Planning Commission?
Mr. Chairman, or Commissioner, yes. The Planning Commission, there was substantial discussion, and probably more discussion at the Planning Commission, and more collaboration in my office, as well as in living rooms and other places on this item. The problem is you have three neighbors that live next to each other. You have the Bowers, and then you have in the middle the Coxes, and then you have the Checks. And the Checks and the Bowers want Comstock to be able to come in and provide overburden fill, not ore, to flatten out their property so they can use the whole property. Right now they're kind of on a hill. And the problem is the middle owner, the Coxes, don't want any of this activity to occur. So I'll be happy to put on the wall if needed, but essentially we have a dome of no operation over the Cox's residence, which is a 500 foot or approximate 700 foot distance of no operations on the surface. Then, well, the dome overlaps the neighbors that want activity. There was, after back and forth, like I said, probably took up, I would say, a third of the whole entire operation was dealing with this matter, and it changed probably a dozen times, was that the dome will remain, and should the Coxes provide a waiver to the applicant that somebody, they can come in there and provide that operation, i.e. fill the area around them, that would then temporarily disable the dome and allow them to come in, do what they want, and then they'd be out of there. So it wouldn't be a permanent mining use
right
within that distance. So that's what's in front of you today, is basically that 700-foot distance with a waiver by the Coxes. If they don't provide the waiver, it doesn't happen. If the Coxes get bought out, it could happen. If they don't and they provide the waiver, it could happen.
What's the probability of the waiver?
That would be certainly up to the Coxes. That's 100% up to them. And they are here today. Mr. Cox is standing, and actually just one Mr. Cox is
right
here today.
But we'd like to be able to improve our property and not have to have that dome over us so that this gentleman and his wife can keep this kind of operation, or at least keep us from improving our properties.
And during this whole thing in the Planning Commission, my position as staff to all the parties was, I don't have a position on this matter. You guys negotiated amongst yourselves. This is your impact on you. So I don't want to come down there and say, well, it's going to be this or it's going to be that. And that's why you see this dome, and it has little notches in it, little different hours of operations for this area and that area. Essentially, those are separate claims that encroach into that dome, or you could say the dome encroaches into the claim. That there's, you know, eight to five allowance operation here for 30 days, and then this section over here allows unlimited, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I stand here still today. There's a proposal in front of this board. It's not Austin's proposal. It's what we came up with, the applicant, the Coxes, the neighbors. It seemed to be the most plausible, but I understand the Czech's concerns and the Bowers' concerns. Are like, well, I want someone to come and fill my dirt. They have a right to have Jim Collins come and put dirt there. Why can't Comstock Mining come and do the exact same thing?
Seems like it's a local thing between the individuals concerned here. I don't particularly have any objections to it. I think it's if they need filter, I wouldn't see any problem with it, but if there's others that are opposed to that, I'd sure like to hear the arguments.
Mr. Commissioner, just so you, because it does answer what you're talking about, at one point in the middle of this process, there was a condition that was tentatively developed that would have the dome, but Comstock could come in there up to, I think it was 30 days or 90 days or something, when everybody agrees, come and do the operation and then be out of there. And then there was about a dozen other versions of this before we finally came up with what we have.
If the folks that are interested in having the fill were to go to the private sector and hire trucks to come in and fill their property, what would be their procedure? And how would the families interact if you were just to hire the fill brought in?
They would go to Mr. Haymore, and they would get a grading permit, and then it would happen.
Yeah, we also have our own dump truck, backhoe, grader. We have all that stuff ourselves.
They have the right.
So what's exacerbating the problem is the fact that it's tied to a mining operation?
Correct.
And so the mining...
I would like, if the offer ever comes up for them to come up there to be able to put some of that overburden on there, no ore, then I can say yes. It's just a way to improve our property, make it look like we want it to be, and stuff like that, to improve our properties. I'm sorry about the Coxes. But it's not going to be like 365 days a year, 7 days a week, we're going to be hauling dirt. They allow time for these guys to come up and be able to go ahead and dump their overburden for us.
Do you have an agreement with Comstock Mining at this point that has a timeline attached?
Right now, it depends on when they decide they want to do this, when they do go to the other side of the road with the special SUP. If they do have overburden and stuff like that, we do have the offer to them, and we've been discussing it with the Comstock Mining, yes.
Austin, is there a way that we could... ask our development department to look at this as a permit for grading and fill and treat it as an arm's length private industry process instead of a mining process?
I would argue absolutely. The building department, is their rules are a grading permit. So as far as they're concerned, the origination of the dirt doesn't matter. As long as it's clean dirt, it's safe, and they come and get their grading permit. This really is nothing the building department could come and say, we recommend this condition to be such because they have a building code. That's it, and the grading code. In this case, we really have three users that don't agree with each other, and the only way I can see to address it is either to say nobody gets anything, or somebody's going to have to give, and the only person I understand that would have to give is the Coxes, because they're the ones in the middle, they're the ones with the dome requesting, and only thing I can see is that this board makes some agreement, and I know Mr. Cox may want to speak as well, and the applicant as well, to say the dome will be there as presented by staff, but up to 90 days, period, this may happen, or something like that would allow this to occur. because what you have in front of you in the special use is the language says the applicant or the permit holder shall not, you know, penetrate this bubble, and it also says the applicant shall not cause to have this occur. So the applicant could not sell the dirt to Collins Construction, for example, and have Collins come down and deliver. That would be Comstock tainted dirt. So the way it's presented right now is a challenge. Yes, it would be Mr. Cox would have the bubble, and the Checks and the Bowers would not have the dirt.
Mr. Chairman, could we hear Mr. Thompson's position?
Mr. Cox?
Mr. Cox.
Sure.
Mr. Cox, yeah.
Ron Cox, Gold Hill. You guys, most of you sat in on the meetings, and I thought that it was pretty well settled that Comstock Mining was not going to be involved in this particular thing. We're not taking any property rights away from the Checks or the Bowers. They can hire it done. Be a little more expensive for them, but they could hire it done. In fact, that was what was decided at the last meeting. I believe all of you were there. Everybody has a 500-foot bubble, basically. We have it a little more expanded because of our location. Even in the 500-foot bubble, they would not be able to get dirt. They, I guess they approached Comstock unbeknownst to us and at request of the dirt, if they had some overburden that they could put in there, and they signed off a waiver. We didn't even know about the waiver until I talked to Austin a couple days before the first meeting, and we were not even offered a chance to do the waiver. If you have any questions.
Are we saying that they could hire anybody in the market to do this work but Comstock Mining?
Yes. We're not taking any property rights away. Other than that was what they decided at the meeting. They were worried about, you know, the last commissioner's meeting, they were worried about taking property rights away from the Checks and the Bowers. And that was what they were saying, is there was no, they could hire it done, but they could, Comstock couldn't provide the dirt
or the labor
or the material.
So we're excluding Comstock as a potential.
Right. Contract. See, the other thing is Comstock can't use the roads, you know, that were our roads that go into it. One is they're too narrow. The other is the maintenance of them and stuff like this. So they would have to build a whole brand new road, go over the water line, and that would be involved in a water line thing. So our chances of us agreeing to it are zero. My wife has a pretty bad case of asthma in that desk. We had the first air monitor at our place, and it's still in operation at this present time.
I have a hard time understanding how moving overburden is constitutes a mining operation. That's my concern.
Well, it's an ancillary function to the mining, but it would seem to me that by limiting Comstock from taking a contract merely because they're a mining entity within the community is excluding them from a financial opportunity. And I'm not sure that this community is that it's appropriate for us to take that position.
I'm not even looking at it like that. I'm just looking at it as if they're not drilling, they're not digging, they're just taking, they're not even using byproduct, they're not using waste material, or they're just using overburden product which they can't use.
But they need
spill,
that.
To use a spill on someone's property.
They do need that overburden for reclamation, though.
Well, that would be their decision. That would be their decision on what they want to use it. To say that it'd be okay for any contractor to come in there and do the exact same work that the mine would do, and the mine can't do it simply because they're a mining company, even though it doesn't have anything to do with mining. That's what my problem.
But it had to do with the SUP and the mining operation.
And that's where I don't understand is how it's part of a mining operation when all they're doing is hauling. Or they're not processing, they're not digging on that land. They're simply dumping overburdened material for your neighbor. I'm not a lawyer, that's why I'm struggling with this to see what the difference is.
Now, I have the same opinion on it. It doesn't, to me, I don't see what difference it makes who hauls the material in there or where the material comes from. As far as we're concerned, it's commissioners.
Maybe we could get the district attorney to weigh in on this because we're a little bit off track. We should be hearing, comments on this SUP, not on the ancillary situations going on in the paper.
If Cal was on out and hired...
Actually, what I want to do is I'm going to give you my card, Mr. Sherman, and we'll call community in which you guys decide. We're not saying like one thing and there's just something like an oxymoron being consulted on YouTube. So I'm just hoping that you guys will keep this in open mind. We can't discuss this another time or any meeting. So you can continue with that.
One of the standards that's often used is the standard of damages. And so one of the challenges that I'm having now in learning what your challenge is,
mm-hmm.
is that if your neighbors were to hire a contractor and bring their product in, are you going to be any more damaged or less damaged than if Comstock Mining undertakes that opportunity? So
that's absolutely hard to say, because, like I said, my original thing was with Comstock Mining. And the 500-foot bubble, even ours is a little more expanded than that, the 500-foot bubble goes for all residences, not just me. So, and then see what happens is if the people want to sign a waiver, and I've looked at the waivers, there's not even an APN number on the waiver to tell you what piece of property it is that they're waiving.
That's correct.
Hmm?
That's correct.
Yeah, so.
Maybe we'll take this up at another time. I'll see if this has a lot of news.
And I don't see where time is of the essence either. None of this would ever take place until Comstock Mining were to move across 342 as well.
If there's a problem, I need to come back.
Okay. Yeah.
It does provide right now. I just want to reiterate that right now the bubble is there. If the Coxes one day decide to provide the waiver, then this operation would be allowed to occur. I don't know if the applicant would like to speak or not to this regard. I know it's gone back and forth, but I just want to remind us there that that's the provision.
We've spent probably 4 or 5 hours with Corrado at my table discussing this and trying to work all this out. Anything else?
Right. Who else would like to testify today? Mr. Figger.
Pardon me, I got a recurring disc problem I developed last summer.
Kim Fager, Gold Hill Historical Society. Disclaimer, right now I don't have anything to do with Comstock Mining whatsoever and there are no plans. I just think because, since I spoke in this issue before any of their operations even got started, I just wanted to reiterate that the Gold Hill Historical Society and my personal opinion are we've really never seen such a comprehensive approach to this kind of operation. And the mining company ought to get a lot of credit for working on it, and so should, the county officers, Austin and everybody. If anybody is still alive that might remember the names of Kimberly or Old Ruth or Reap Town, that's my old stomping ground, and none of those towns exist anymore. because there was a time when the mining companies basically did exactly what they were pleased, and condemnation was, you know, their avenue, and there was nothing around that whatsoever. What's going on here, especially as far as the preservation of the area, I think someone needs to really take note of it, especially considering the historic values of this area. We're all about preserving the history here, and that tends to help our economy. And I haven't seen anything so far that's run counter to that, and I personally appreciate what they're doing. Now, my house is right next to what happened the last time there was mining in this area, and I look forward possibly to a time when there might be some mitigation managed to be done to that. That's pretty much all I got to say there.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on, we have a whole room full of people that want to talk.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Austin, would you like to read findings?
Yes, and I just, before I read findings, there's a couple amendments I want to discuss or make sure we're all on the same page that were brought up today. So I would recommend, per the applicant's discussion on Section 3.1 of the conditions, that entire thing is ended with the following thresholds to be the rolling minimum acreage at any given time. The applicant asked for that clarification to make sure the 120, the 2020, and the 50 is very clear that they're rolling, that they're not a static number. And so I would recommend we add that to Section 3.1. I want to assure that we're all in understanding that there is no ore processing or processing of ore from other places in Story County arriving at this use. And I want to assure that we all know that after the Planning Commission, that the provision that provides for reclamation of haul roads and ancillaries, drilling pads and things like that, is pursuant to the NDEP's requirements, and that there's no use of may in there with regard to they may reclaim. They will have to comply fully with the NDEP requirements. There's a provision in the NDEP's reclamation plan that I embedded into this that says if the applicant, the county, and the NDEP agree, some of those haul roads or access roads could remain in place to a lesser extent for fire access and things like that. So I just want to make sure we're all clear on that. Other than that, I would be happy to read the findings. So I'm reading from page 34. No, I'm not. Reading page from 32. These are the findings, motion for approval. They're long, so I'll go through them quickly. The Section 8, I'm going to start at Section 8.1, and these are the findings that go with the motion for approval that are part of the record. So the following are found regarding the amended SUP under recommended conditions of approval shown in Section 9. A motion for approval should include a minimum of these findings and may include other findings deemed appropriate and factual by the body. 8.1.1, requirement by code. All land within the amended SUP boundary is zoned SPR Special Planning Review and F Forestry. Accordingly, the applicant application for amended SUP was submitted pursuant to Story County Code Section 1732020M through M and 1744030A, which lists mining, quote unquote, and mining and processing related to mining, quote unquote, as allowed in each zone and with SUP approved by the Board of County Commissioners with recommendation by the Planning Commission. 812 Section 1792 findings incorporated. Section 1792030 of the Story County Code lists findings of facts related to mining, mining uses and rights, rights and protections and non-mining uses potentially impacted by mining, and protecting the historical value and integrity of the Virginia City National Historic Landmark. Those findings in their entirety are hereby incorporated into the approval and the amended SUP, and it is hereby recognized that the amended SUP conforms to the purpose and intent of the findings. 813 requirement by code. The conditions of the amended SUP are not in conflict with the purpose and intent or other specific requirements of the F Forestry Zone and SPR Special Planning Review Zone in which the subject of use is located. 814 use compatibility. The conditions of approval under amended SUP impose sufficient regulations on the proposed use to reasonably mitigate associated impacts on the surrounding environment and existing land, adjacent land uses. 815 regulation compatibility. The conditions under the amended SUP are at least as stringent, non in conflict with applicable federal, state, and county regulations. The minimum requirements under Story County Code Chapter 1703, Administrative Provisions, and Story County Code 1792, Mining, for issuance of a special use permit are incorporated into the conditions of the amended SUP. And last, 816, conformance with prior SUP. The amended conditions and the remaining unchanged conditions of the amended SUP comply with the land use requirements of the underlying regulatory zone or in a stringent and non-conflict of federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to uses allowed by the amended special use permit. And then, Commissioners, should you desire, there are motions presented on page 53 of the staff report. Staff recommends motion one, Rangabendit motion, and that would be to approve as discussed and presented. And there is an alternative motion should you want to change things, and then a motion three to deny.
Pleasure of the board.
I'd like to open up a discussion for a potential amendment, or perhaps an addition to the approval amendment. And so I offer to the board for general discussion. We're approving a special use permit today to allow a major operation to take place. And that SUP anticipates that there'll be an operating plan submitted sometime in the future. That operating plan will contain all of the conditions that theoretically will fall within the confines of the special use permit. And I would ask that staff in Austin bring that application, that plan of operations, back before this board for a review before final approval. And that also we undertake, and I want to confirm that according to the application I'm reading, the applicant is required to submit the plan to the county before project commencement. I understand that. So we want to make sure that it's in compliance with the SUP and provide updates when minor or major modifications to the plan are submitted. And I would like to know that in the event of major modifications, which should be identified, that those modifications, since they would be outside of the special use permit perhaps, would be brought back to this board for review and approval. So I offer that for discussion here. I understand that there's going to be an annual review of operations within the SUP, and I compliment that. I think it's good planning. However, it's history. We're going to know what happened during the last year, not what's happening while it's taking place. And so I offer for discussion here that we add this plan of operations be submitted to this board for approval prior to commencement of operations on the site.
Mr. Shevagan?
Well, I've followed this for several years now, so I have a pretty good idea of what's been going on down there. Thank Austin for the work he's put in, and also the Planning Commission, and the cooperation of all the folks at Comstock Mining. I think that we could have done a lot worse had we had some other mining company come in here for this operation. I'm very, very pleased to have been able to work with Corrado and his team at Comstock Mining. So I am very, very confident that we're going to have a very good relationship, ongoing relationship with Comstock Mining. So those are my comments.
Well, I too am satisfied with how the process has gone. I mean, an immense amount of work by the Planning Commission and staff, Comstock Mining, and a lot of residents with their input on what they thought would be in the best interest of the community here. I know we're not going to satisfy everybody to the extent that they'd like it to be, but an awful lot of effort's gone into this, and we can keep working on it going into the future to make it even better than it is today. But I'm confident in where we sit right now. And, so at this time, I'll call for a motion on this.
Mr. Commissioners and Chairman, I did with the Planning Commission, because there's been some changes at today's meeting, minor or major, with the Planning Commissioners in that regard. I asked the Planning Commission if they would like to just look at each change and then just motion aye. It doesn't necessarily mean a vote of the special use permit or nay. And that, just for the record, makes it very clean, particularly on this one. This is very complex, especially this is a very complex set of meetings. And so if you're fine with it, I would like to say kind of what I did a little bit earlier, amend 3.1 to say the following, and then the board would say aye, we agree with that, okay. And then we go to the next item, the one that Mr. Gilman or Commissioner Gilman just brought up, say aye, and then allow public comment then on those items. And then if everything is clean and we're ready to move forward, then I have a couple structural requests I'd like to ask on how you would like something like that formulated, simply, and then would be the actual public comment on the whole thing, and then a motion to approve or not approve the whole thing. You're okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. So then
I'd like to bring up one other subject, just for clarity. On page 8 of, I believe, 135, it calls for the amended SUP will contain several regulations described in the following paragraph that exceed the standards currently administered by NDEP, which I applaud our county. I think it's a great move. On the third section, it says subject processing. The processing facility will be limited to receiving and processing ore originating from the subject property, other mine holdings of the applicant located in Lyon County, and from any mine located in Story County that is owned by the applicant or other person or other firm. And I'm curious how that might take place without using Highway 342, which in the application is precluded from being hauled.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. What you read in there, and I've taken a look at some things, the page 8 that you're referring to, apparently I did not change some of the language between the staff report for the Planning Commission that I wrote initially to this one. So while page 8 does have reference to all of that, pursuant to the Planning Commission, that is all removed. So the applicant now can process mine ore from its subject property, and it can also process from Lyon County holdings that it has in Silver Cities, but it cannot use the highway, and it cannot bring in ore from Uri Marshall, for example, or another mining company elsewhere. But what I can do is, just to provide assurance, is pursuant to a motion today, I'll make sure that it's very clear in that motion that there is no reference to that in the actual conditions that are made today. And so there's no chance that something got overlooked. But I don't believe it was. I wrote the conditions and I caught that. I didn't catch it on page 8. Okay, if you're okay with it, then I will ask for a mini motion or an aye on these items. So the mini motion would be to amend section 3.1 of the conditions to read, quote unquote, the following thresholds to be a rolling maximum acreage at any given time.
What's a separate motion?
Not a motion, just the compliment.
Yeah. You agree? Okay.
Individually or collectively?
Individually, okay.
I heard that change, Bill.
Yeah, I confirm that.
Okay. And then the next one, the assurances, I don't think we need to, but if you want, I'll just ask for the same thing on assurances. No processing of ore from other parts of Story County, but the applicant may process from Lyon County and from its subject property without use of state for, or no Lyon County, sorry, just from the subject property.
Could read that again?
Yeah. That the applicant will only process ore from the subject property, nowhere else.
Okay. agree with that.
I agree with that.
Okay, thank you. And last, not last, that there were assurance that the reclamation of the haul roads and the ancillary haul roads and those sorts of things are pursuant to the NDEP or BLM requirements, whatever applicable, and it is not may, it is shall.
I agree with that.
Okay, and the last one, and this one I'll have to probably do a little bit of writing. So I heard a motion here today with regard to compliance. Right now, the special use requires compliance review with the Planning Commission every year. And then there's some other elements that go along with that. What you are also asking for is inside the special use permit right now, there is an operating plan. And that operating plan has to be submitted to my staff planning before they commence on the east side of the highway. What you're asking for is that operating plan is for staff to go ahead and take a look at it, do what we do, and then bring that to the county commission for just a compliance with the special use permit review. And then also, when that operating plan undergoes a major modification, for example, a 10% increase in the operation of the operating portion, not the special use permit boundary, that would also come to this board for a review. A minor modification, such as the haul road being in the middle of the pit and being moved to the left side of the pit, would be a minor mod, would not go to the commission for a review. Any changes to the special use permit at all, 1 inch outside of the special use permit boundary, 1 ton more than whatever is allowed, 1 square foot more than 120, whatever it is, any changes to the special use permit would warrant an amendment to the special use permit and go through the whole entire process of the Planning Commission per 288, not 288, 278 of the NRS.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, and I will structure language accordingly, and I would ask this board if they would like to take comments from the applicant or the public on all of it.
Once again, I'll ask for public comment. County Manager, do you weigh in on this?
I agree with the process. Again, like everyone else, I applaud our applicant, Contract Mining. They've been great to work with, and I'm, as always, very proud of our staff for the work, and also our Planning Commission that did a great job in vetting this out publicly and working through the process. So I'm supportive of it.
Mr. District Attorney, anybody else?
If I understood the motion made by Commissioner Gilman, it was that any major modifications to the mine operation plan would be brought before the commission. And Austin said would be reviewed. If I understand correctly, what Mr. Gilman is saying is the commission wants to approve them before they go into effect.
If I heard right, Mr. Maddox, and if I'm correct, that this board wanted to review the major modifications to the operating plan, and the review is to assure that that operating plan still maintains conformance with the special use permit conditions, that it doesn't exceed the allowances of the SUP.
What's the commission saying? Well, do you want the plan to be brought to the commission for approval or just for review?
For review and approval of the plan and conformance that is in conformance with the SUP.
But before they can put the mine operation plan into effect, it has to be approved by this
commission.
And it doesn't have to go through the Planning Commission. Because if I understand right now, there is a plan for the operation of the mine, and that's what NDEP has. And you have to prepare one for NDEP anytime you're making major changes to it. And so, as you go along and start moving to the east side of the road, you're going to develop a plan at that time to mine that area. And at that time, this commission wants that new plan to be brought back to be approved and reviewed and to ensure that it complies with the SUP.
And Mr. Maddox, I just for clarity here, so we all know exactly what we're talking about. So essentially what you're going to have is you've got your special use permit boundary. That's the sandbox that they can work it. Inside that is the NDEP's approved operations plan. Plan of operations is what it's called. In that is the NDEP has all the minutia, all the very specifics, every nut and bolt, every gallon of water, every little thing. Then that's their requirement. Then there is the county's requirement of the operating plan that some cases exceeds the NDEP or BLM requirement. So as I understand it, this board will be reviewing all of that for compliance with the special use.
Mr. Gilman's going to make a motion.
Yes, sir. That's what I was.
Come on up.
Corrado de Gaspers, Comstock Mining, Gold Hill, Nevada. I think that the request for understanding major changes is very prudent, right? I think that we want to collaborate and we want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening before it happens. And I think, Mr. Gilman, the notion that the annual review is historical and these are prospective is a very good point, right, to know before. I think the line that's sort of being debated is, are we coming up for essentially a compliance review, right, to say, here's the change in the operations plan, all aspects of it comply with, frankly, all state and federal requirements, you know, fully compliant with the outcome being that the commission reaffirms, right, that it's compliant and it's good. That's great. I think if that's the point, I think that's great. If we're saying, and if we're saying this, I would be a little confused by it, and I'm just asking for clarification, that if a fully compliant plan was brought prospectively in advance of the activity to the commission, could the commission say no to that if it's fully compliant with the SUP, right? So I think that would be my question of clarification, right? Because then otherwise this approval doesn't do much for us, you know, because our whole basis for getting this approval is to make millions of dollars of investments with the confidence that as long as it's compliant, we can proceed. If there's a risk that we couldn't proceed, then I don't think we've achieved our objective here. So, but I may be wrong, that presenting in advance to this commission the full changes to the plan and, in fact, that they're compliant is an excellent request in the context of how I just described it. Dell, is that?
Dell, it's Mr. Dell.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
So in other words, I would be fully supportive, you know, of meeting the need of proactively or prerequisite, right, is to come to this commission with that modification, with that plan. I think that's good practice. I think that's good communication. And demonstrate how it's fully compliant, you know, and the value of that is if you see something that we missed or that Austin missed or the planning department missed, then we could modify it before we proceed, and that's protective. If it is fully compliant, though, I don't see that there's a scenario where you're reapproving, right, that it's already approved within this current package, as long as it's compliant.
I think that's the intent for my motion.
Okay.
Asking us today to approve a special use permit that has missing items, and one of the major missing items is the operation plan.
Right, right.
And so I'm merely asking that operation plan be submitted for overview to verify that it's in compliance with the special use permit that we're approving.
I think that's great. I would be supportive of that. I mean, you know, I think it's a great idea. Okay.
Anybody else have any comments before we call for vote? Seeing none?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, you.
Okay. I'd be glad to. So I'm going to read this recommended motion that's in my...
Page 53, yeah. Motion one.
Based on the findings of fact shown in subsection 8.1 and conditions of approval shown in section 9 of this report, compliance with federal, state, and county regulations, and the recommendation for approval by the Planning Commission and staff, I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve SUP application number 2000-222-A-4, amending SUP number 2000-222-A-3 to expand the subject land area and amend uses as provided in the Planning Commission and staff recommendations for mining, processing, mine definition and exploration, and ancillary uses, and subject to the amendments made to this motion by this board today.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second? All right. Moved and seconded to approve special use permit, Comstock Mining. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Okay.
Congratulations, Bob. Job well done.
All right, let's move on to the simpler thing now. Item number 15, discussion and possible action. In accordance with an approval of the special use permit number 2000-222-A-4 by Comstock Mining LLC, County Planning staff hereby recommends closure and nullification of existing special use permit number 2011-016. Exploration SUP. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to the special use permit that Comstock Mining operated under a moment ago, they have a special use permit for exploration. That exploration permit goes through, beyond, and all that of that old special use for everything else. Because of the approval of the 014 or the 2014 special use permit, there's now a conflict between the 016 special use and the, I'll call it the A1 special use. So staff is recommending to close that special use permit for exploration permanently. The recommended motion has embedded a finding that you would be making your finding with that regard in your motion.
This is basically housekeeping.
I have a quick question. I note on this form that there's a item 7, legal review required, and if so, that our district attorney has reviewed. So, okay. Have you reviewed the document and it's in compliance?
Yes.
It was missing an initial.
That number that's been set up.
I got 4 years.
This is great as up. That's good. Man.
Is there any public comment on this?
So this is just a natural following thing.
Seeing this, I call for the motion.
Okay. So the motion is, in accordance with the approval of special use permit number 2000-222-A-4, Comstock Mining LLC, compliance with federal, state, and county regulations, and the recommendation of approval by the Planning Commission and staff, I will hereby find that existing SUP number 2011-016 is no longer necessary and may conflict with the provisions of SUP number 2000-222-A-4. And therefore, a motion to approve the permanent closure of existing SUP number 2011-016, which is the exploration SUP.
I'll second his motion.
And move to the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I just want to say you guys are going to be good at this.
Right.
We're going to go ahead here and we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the Board of Fire Commissioners. And I'd be remiss if I didn't know if we have some dignitaries in the audience today. We have Assemblyman Jim Wheeler standing up here, former State Senator Maurice Washington back here. Thank you for being in attendance. Gary, are you going to?
I'm happy to. Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a while back, at the earlier part of this year, we had approved the collective bargaining agreement between the fire Fire Board of Commissioners and the fire district. We are not hereby proposing to amend that collective bargaining agreement between us and the union. We're only asking that a clarification is made. What had occurred in the past was some hiring freezes that occurred, or pay freezes, and then it was let loose and then new people were hired, and there's been some ambiguity as to when merit increases are offered to different staff that are hired at different times and have different anniversary dates. For example, half of the staff, their merit step increase occurs on July 1st of each year, and then there are others that it occurs on their actual hiring anniversary date. So instead of having the ambiguity and shooting from the hip, we had collaborated together to create this memorandum of understanding that explains who gets what and when. And that's essentially what you have in front of you in brief.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on this discussion? Motion?
Motion to approve. Memorandum of Understanding between the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners and Story County Firefighters Association, IAFF Local 4227, Firefighters Association, pertaining to salaries, merit steps, and employee anniversary and hiring.
Second. Motion and a second for approval of Memorandum of Understanding with Story County Firefighter Association. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the Board of Commissioners and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. All right. Let's move right along to item number 19, staff reports. Sherry, would you like to start us off today?
Sherry Niven, Story County Community Services. A few items for you today. We'll be hosting a flu immunization clinic on September 17th from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Hillside Elementary School in Lockwood. This clinic will be open to all residents of the Lockwood community. Before the 3:30 time period, we'll be working with the school to do immunizations for the children there. So this should be a great event. Again, September 17th from 3:30 to 6 p.m. Also, just another plug for our Story County Health Fair here in Virginia City on October 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Also on that day, the Mark Twain Community Center has tentatively planned to do a pancake breakfast down there at their center. They're still working out some of the details on that. On Thursday, we'll be kicking off the courthouse seismic retrofit update study that we received some grant funding for. So we have Mr. Mel Green, a structural engineer that did the study for us back in the early 90s, will be here on site that day. I'll be working with Dean and Shannon on that project. So we'll be looking throughout the building and getting things kicked off with that project. Deborah Griffin and I have been making our way through the communities to talk to residents about what they would like to see as far as health services go. So far, we've been to the Virginia City Senior Center and got some good feedback there. We've been to the Mark Twain Community Center and, again, received good feedback. So we're just kind of making our way to Lockwood and the Highlands out throughout the next couple of months. Adam was here with the Mark Twain Community Center, but he had to leave. He wanted me to just let you know that they have elections coming up on September 17th. There's a few members of the board who will not be seeking re-election. They've got two members of the community, Mr. and Mrs. Baugh, who will be heading the elections committee. They're moving ahead with some improvements to the center, putting up a small wall where they've got a computer lab now. It's looking really good down there. The library is up and running. They're hoping to add maybe some horseshoe pits to the small area outside of the park, because that seems to be an activity that they enjoy doing down there. The Boy Scouts are having regular meetings at the center. On September 12th, we'll be meeting with the Mark Twain Community Center Board and Community Chest to discuss some youth programming that they'd like to see down there at the center in way of before and after school programs for the kids. So they're staying fairly busy down there, and I'm happy to work with those folks. That's all I have for today.
Thank you. Mayor Lee, do you have something to report today?
Sure you do.
Marilee Miller, River District. Hi, guys. Been a long time since I've been here. I've just been busy. We had Senior Awareness National Night Out. I'm on those committees. It just takes a lot of time. I do want to report that in August, we finished putting up some tree sculptures in front of the community building. Before they were positioned there, they were given to me personally by a friend of mine, and I said, no, we need these in the community. We researched and we got a hold of some fire retardant for this type of material, sent away, had it mailed to me, and spent several hours one day putting two coats of fire retardant on all this material, which is set back probably this far from the building. It's not touching anything, just to make sure that we didn't have any kind of fire hazard going on. I touched base with Pat. He referred me to Fritz at the fire department, and between us, we could get this material, get it on, and get those sculptures up there. We're thinking of putting a few more items up there. One of the things I had in mind that I'm bringing up to my committee on the 23rd when we have our advisory meeting is I would like to put a mural on that side of that building in two aspects. One of them, Mustangs on one side. On the other side, I'd like to incorporate the petroglyphs. I don't know anybody that's an artist that would do this for nothing. But that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at ways to really make that building stand out more than just the beige that it is right now that's not very appealing. So that's basically all I've been working on since we finished National Night Out. And it's working, and I'm certainly glad to be back up here again. Thank you.
Marilee?
Yes.
Why don't you check in with the artist and see what a bid might look like for the cost of putting something
Well, who do I check with?
Marshall, you got any ideas for folks to do those kind of things?
I've given up any names until they finish our mural.
As soon as they finish the mural.
Okay, on the bucket of blood.
Parking lot, they're doing a great job. Those are all volunteers. They're doing that work.
Well, we're not asking for really fancy. We're just asking for improved look. And I think we can get that. There's a lot of murals around, and there's people that even high school students, I've seen the work that they've done for a class project where I have lived before. I haven't seen it here. I don't know if any of the schools have that. But that might be something we could look at, too. But I'll put some feelers out. I have to start teaching at Reed High School again tomorrow. So I'll check with the advisor there if there's anything possible there. My husband and I teach bowling all the way from September all the way to the end of March every year to Reed High School, once a week. So
one of the artists that's working downtown is a student.
Okay.
Vinny Dodson, he's got a contact for a commercial artist that also does murals.
Well, I don't know that we want to spend the money for a commercial artist. They're pretty pricey.
Other ways.
Huh?
There might be some other ways. So you
yeah, they're pretty pricey, so I'm kind of looking at getting myself a student or someone who would like to pass some time a day for several days. But anyway, that's what we've got going that we're going to discuss again this meeting. It's on the 23rd. If anybody would like to come, it starts at 12:30 at the community building. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilee. Chief Haynes?
Good afternoon. I just have two quick informational items for the board. The intermittent seasonal firefighters, wildland firefighters, half of them will have their hours reduced beginning the 7th. The other half will be reduced on the 21st, and then we'll bring them back in May sometime. The second thing is we had a hazardous materials incident last weekend out at one of the facilities in Tri. And I bring that up only because it was a chance, and I think it's the first time we've ever had to use a full Quad County Hazardous Materials Response Team in our district. It went very smooth. The company was great to work with, and no injuries. So out of a hazmat incident with no injuries, that's a good day. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Gallagher, anything from the Comptroller's office today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I wanted just to give you an update as to the audited financial statements. It seems that the field work will be done hopefully by the middle of this month, which is almost a record. Statements forthcoming after that. Our internal statements for July will be ready this week. I'll send those out to our department heads and with some notes as to where we are with as respect to the first month relative to the for this year's budget. That was a promise I wanted to make to Commissioner Gillen because last year we had to wait almost till the third month, which I was I anticipated some more journal entries that would have tainted some of that information. I'm pretty confident now that that's not going to happen. So we will have those ready for you this week. We will have a risk management meeting tomorrow to encompassing our volunteer program. I think this is something that we touched on last week, which is something that's necessary to get it up and running, completed, so that all of us understand what the safety effects and everything of the risk management program and the volunteer program occur. I met with the comptroller for Carson City concerning the V&T Rail Commission. He has assured me that we will sit down sometime this week and discuss the numbers that I have, which he more or less concurs with, and where we now sit with the Rail Commission in general. I attended a committee on the from Department of Taxation Local Government Finance Committee. They have now some resolutions that they would like to present to the next legislature concerning heart-lung disease, which is always a spirited conversation once we get with the legislatures and the various unions between the North and South on that issue. And there was some dialogue concerning the definition of a separate local government. It seems like the Department of Taxation is going a different area, since it cannot get a decision from the Attorney General as to what a separate local government is. It seems like they may want to take a stab at defining it themselves. It is not particularly probably offensive to what we've been trying to do with the Tourism Commission or in Chief Hames' separate local government entities. But they're also looking at these charter schools that now want to become a separate local government, and they're distinguishing between the school district and some of these things. So this is going to be an ongoing discussion, and I'm going to attend most of those things. And last, and with your indulgence, I would like to introduce you to a lady from the great state of Connecticut. Marilyn Fitzgerald, would you stand up, please? Marilyn Fitzgerald has been recently retired as one of the highest ranking and most dedicated and decorated officers of the United States Armed Forces. As a registered nurse, Colonel Fitzgerald took care of many of our soldiers, men and women, and in her travels included military bases in the United States, Central America, Europe, and Desert Storm. And with all of this on her plate, still had the ability to raise a family. Colonel Fitzgerald, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Sheriff Hunter Norrell.
All right, just a few things, so I'll be quickly about it. Melanie Keener received recognition today from the VFW, but that letter was sent in some time ago. They were addressing her as sergeant as of 2 weeks ago. She has been appointed acting chief deputy for the sheriff's office, so she's second in command at this point in time. Jump back over to a military note for a second. The fellow that was discovered in the septic tank nearly a year ago is about to be laid to rest. He was a decorated Vietnam veteran receiving 2 Bronze Stars. There will be a service for him tomorrow at the Veterans Cemetery in Fernley at 11 a.m. Our very own chaplain, Catherine Barron, will be performing the service, and she also facilitated his internment through the different veterans associations. Parking lot improvements in Lockwood have been done, so anybody goes down there, they'll see a nice asphalt pad, but don't get too excited. We have more to go, but that's all the money you gave me this year. Horses. We talk about horses. Wild Horse Fair. Good one. Lots of people came to town. We had some of the CERT volunteers out for that. Only the ones that are all squared away paper-wise and everything else. We had several of ours out, both for the Wild Horse Fair a week ago and to help with traffic control during yesterday's Labor Day parade. During the horse fair, Washoe County also sent a whole bunch of their folks up to assist, and both events went exceptionally well and cut down on the use of overtime resources by having them out helping with traffic control. The other side of horses, Department of Agriculture was recently up and picked up a few, 4 to be specific. Gotten a few phone calls about that. They came up because it was deemed to be a public safety risk. Between August 1st and August 25th, the Sheriff's Office handled 17 horse-related issues in the county. So most of those being right here in Virginia City, and I believe that was the catalyst for Department of Agriculture coming up and picking up those 4 horses. That said, I've been talking with the Department of Agriculture, Lacey J. Dalton and Let Them Run Foundation, Willis Lamb, amongst others, trying to make sure that those horses that were picked up are taken to one of the rescue operations versus ultimately ending up at auction. And that's still in the works, but it sounds like it has a lot of promise. So anybody who's concerned about their fate, don't get too concerned yet, because we're working on good things for them ponies. And the last thing I have, today marks the end of an era, unless something has derailed that is unbeknownst to me, but Angelo Petrini will be parting company with the Delta and the Bonanza at some point today. The liquor license for the new owner or a new operator is not on the agenda because we're still waiting for a few things with the background packet. He was approved during the first reading 2 weeks ago. We'll be giving him a temporary license pending those final items for the background check. He did just clear background with gaming, so not anticipating any bugaboos jumping up. But it'll be kind of different not seeing Angelo down there putzing around. But any questions for me?
On the Department of Ag, will they typically come into our county without notification, or do they send that notification that they're going to hold some kind of an operation?
The Department of Agriculture does what they want with their horses. But in this
particular instance, I believe it was one of my deputies who forwarded complaints and issues on to them, and that was the catalyst. It was not an official request by the sheriff's office, but just passing on those issues that we've been dealing with, and so on their own behest, they came up. But I got to tell people when they call that they are their horses, and they're free to do with them as they see fit. They don't have to notify us. We have no say over them.
You know, Pat, I'd like to ask for a process whereby the Department of Ag has put on notice that prior to coming into our county for some kind of an operation, that they notify our county manager, so we have some forewarning of what the plans are. I realize it's a problem.
Well, in this most recent case, Mr. Gilman, they did notify us. I was talking to the sheriff when the officer showed up the day before and told us he would be coming the next day to see what he could do about growling some of these.
Didn't realize that.
Another, just following up on this, he only got four. You might not know this, but there were 18 horses down by your house yesterday. I have an employee that lives next door, County Manager Whitten, and 18 horses in front of her house yesterday. It's starting to clutter up the neighborhood in more ways than just horses.
Well, I'm not really addressing the horse problem. I just...
Me neither. It's what we're leaving behind.
From the state authority to come in and hold an operation, I actually think that it's good we know. We'll be informed.
Yes. I appreciate
that.
They don't. I learned this from a case that I did that you were witnessing. They're responsible for any wild horses on private lands, but they don't have any budget for that at all. So it's sort of one of those things that they're responsible for something that they haven't been given a budget to take care of.
Does that mean it's an unfunded mandate?
Well, the legislature can do whatever they want to with their departments, but and this is what I've gleaned from the case that I did and the interviews that I did with all of them. I was in fairly routine contact with the guy that's in charge of that. They don't have any funds to do what they're supposed to do. So they really kind of do the best they can. And I don't know if the legislature is going to change that or not.
Well, for what it's worth, if I can add
that. It's convoluted because the Department of Ag has responsibility for some of the horses, but the BLM has responsibility for another half. And it's kind of hard to tell which half is there on what property. But they split the responsibility.
Well, if I can add just a few things, I believe there's either legislation or a court case that's trying to sort that mess out right there, who has what responsibility for which of the critters. The way I understood it, when the Department of Agriculture was talking, myself and Chairman McBride, they were planning on picking up 8 horses initially, but I think they've probably heard some of the complaints also, and I don't know of them having any plans of coming back up unless there is additional problems, at least based on my last conversation with them. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, like I said, it's their horses, their state. They can do what they want with them. They did say a lot of the problem is right now, and as you see, the fruit trees and everything are full of apples and pears and whatnot, and horses just love them. So.
For the record, Assemblyman Wheeler. Just so you know that during the last session, I put through an amendment to a bill that would allow the Wild Horse Preservation League to enter into negotiations with the Department of Agriculture for the management of the Virginia Range horses. Those negotiations are ongoing, and it looks like I spoke to Jim Barbie at DOA, a month ago, and it looked like they were getting pretty close. So as far as your budget concerns, that's all going to come from private donations now to manage these animals.
So I think you're going to see a lot better management of them over the next 2 years or so. I just wanted to let you know that. So kind of give it some time, and, you know, as we do with everything else, nothing, you know, we're moving at the speed of government. So give us a year or two, and I think you're going to see a lot better management of these animals.
Thank you, Senator Whitman. Next up, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I just got a couple ideas or items. The NRS does require that we establish utility corridors in each of the counties, and these are going to be corridors where high voltage transmission lines and things like that would be permitted to be placed. We are working with Desi Redman and Bob Morris on structuring this with a master plan, both that as well as by ordinance, and establishing utility corridors. And two probably that would be most likely are between the Tracy Power Plant and Reno Sparks, where those utilities run, and then potentially between that location and the Blackhawk substation near Iron Mountain Ranch. There may be others, but essentially what we might be able to do in this case is, with this allowance, they would be able to allow to put 375s and things like that through these corridors, and then other places, for example, if they were to route them through residential neighborhoods or things like that, we could have more stringent local control. So I see this as potentially a win in looking at this. So we'll be working on that, and I want definitely that will be done in public workshops and that sort of thing. The next thing, I want to mitigate a rumor and also explain. There was a little bit of rumor that the county's looking at housing moratoriums in the Highlands. For some reason, there was a specific date proposed. I don't know where any of that came from, but there is not. At this point, though, I am working with our team on the potential for a moratorium on lawns, swimming pools, and ponds in the Highlands. That would include the 1s, 10s, and potentially 40s. There is an ongoing stream of people coming to this department now with wells that are dried up. I can cite to Commissioner Shovangan as one of them. It used to be one here or there, and now it's more and more and more, and it's like every time I talk to somebody in the Highlands, it's them or their neighbor is having a well dry up. So I want to look at a potential for something like that. The lawns seem to be a problem. If anybody Google Earths the Highlands, you'll see more lawns and more swimming pools than you ever imagined, particularly above-ground swimming pools. And it's becoming pretty common when you have a lawn next door that's the size of this courtroom that the neighbor's well suddenly dried up right when that lawn was put in. So I think we need to be proactive and do something out there, and we don't know what at this point. Look at some studies, but at this point at least put a stop on those activities for new operations, new lawns, new swimming pools, new ponds. And those are my two items.
Great.
Thank you.
District Attorney Maddox?
Nothing, Commissioner.
Deputy DA Lane?
Nothing.
Special Counsel?
Thank you.
County Manager?
A couple quick items. One is, you know, I kind of wish we could have gotten this while we had a full house, but we made you a promise during budget season that we would carefully only grow as we felt we would need to grow in terms of staff. Back in the 2006-2007 time period, we reduced our overall FTE count by right around 35%. We have been experimenting successfully with what we call less than full-time, part-time, whatever they are. That gives us greater flexibility, saves us money, and typically, again, if we manage these right, we don't have any benefit costs or retirement costs to speak up beyond Social Security. The news today is we have authorized hiring one, all new hires. The department head has to convince not only me, but Q from a fiscal standpoint, and Austin from an HR standpoint, and the one full-timer that we're willing to add to the group is the new building inspector. We continue to see dynamic growth out in Tri. I'm out there much more often now. Was out there a week or so ago, and it's amazing. The activity that is currently going on out there all over the park. So if anybody knows anybody in the construction trade business,
that's sharp, probably, that has some commercial experience. We're hoping to use them out in the industrial park to help Dean, and definitely sharp enough to go through the certifications within a year. We hope to add to that department only. But if you know of anybody, refer them to Austin, please. And second off, you'll notice next door, two of the four houses are gone. The yellow one, Dixie's, up to Comstock Mining's campus, and the white one went kind of royally and elegantly down to the cemetery a little while back, about a week or so ago. We're now hung up a little bit on a couple of small issues that are being tended to before the other two can move, and I was out of town late last week, so I haven't caught up with Ralph to see what his revised deadline is. You also notice Mike's team has already gotten in there and not only graded it level where the two houses were, but also put down some DG. And so we've got parking as we speak. And I'm going to speak briefly to some of the comments sometimes that I guess we just don't respond to when they happen during the commission meeting. But I recall at the last meeting, I believe, or in the prior meeting, that someone from the audience, you know, uttered some comment that struck me as odd and illogical, but I have proof positive now that it was a very incorrect and naive statement, and that was we don't need to have that parking in this town. There's adequate parking. I went to the Wild Horse Fair a week ago last Saturday to the parade, and happened to have my car parked in the courthouse because I've been doing a little work here first. The courthouse was packed. And as I left, there were two cars fighting over one parking space, and there were 8 or 10 cars using the dirt lot that at that time was in pretty rugged shape. So for those that don't think we need parking, I would suggest they reassess. That's it.
Thank you. Vanessa?
I don't have anything today. Nothing. That concludes staff reports. Moving along to item number 20, board comment. Mr. Shebagin?
Nothing.
Mr. Gilman?
Yeah, I'd just like to circle back for a minute and acknowledge Austin and the Planning Commission and the folks that work diligently on this mining SUP. I thought it was impressive. They met for hours many, many times, Austin. Can't believe how much you've written. Took me 2 days to digest, and it's wonderfully done. And I'm not sure, but the Planning Commission may be unsung heroes, but they did a great job of presenting this and vetting it and putting it on our desk. And I'm sure glad they're there, and I appreciate you very much, Austin.
I'd be happy to relay that message to the Planning Commissioners.
I wish you would. I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. I'd like to revisit the Wild Horses one more time. Lacey J. Dalton's Wild Horse Fair last week was a huge success, not only for the fact that I think her concert sold out, the amount of people it brought to town. So we're all going to agree that they need to do something with the horses, and if they can come up with some type of reserve sanctuary for the horses, it's going to be all the better for everyone. So I think we continue to raise money for that. It's great. Because I think we will agree that these horses don't belong on our city streets or in our yards. And because people are walking right up to them and taking their pictures, the tourists are, and something could happen with this.
They do it with the bears in Yellowstone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the lady up at King's Beach feeds the bears there too. Yeah. In any event, and she's a good-hearted lady, and she put on a great event, and it benefited the whole town business-wise too, because every business in town benefited from it, because it brought just a whole bunch of people to town. Terrific event.
Great turnout.
The second item I've got is the bank building that the county bought. The bank did a terrible job of advertising it. Nobody knew about it. Everybody's surprised the county bought it. I'd like to let you know that I received an unsolicited offer over the weekend of more than double of what the county paid for it, and it was just in casual conversation. I told a gentleman who is a businessman from the area that if he was interested in putting in a local bank, that we'd consider his offer. So anyway,
Moving along, item number 21, discussion of possible action, approval of modification and extension of collective bargaining agreement between Story County as the employer and Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association slash Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. Let's see. Mr. Gallagher, are you going to take this?
Mr. Russell.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go ahead and I can do it from here.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm just going to, kind of like I did before, provide a little introduction to what had occurred with our collective bargaining agreement between the Story County and the Sheriff's Office Employees Association. In this, what we have in front of us really is a 2014-17 three-year contract. And I just, we're really bargaining pursuant to NRS 288, mandatory bargaining. This is a requirement. Once the other contract or the collective bargaining agreement expires, then it becomes our responsibility to bargain a new contract with the union. I do want to send, despite the challenges and tribulations and things that had occurred over the since February, I do want to send a level of appreciation to the union and some of its members, because in this whole thing, with 15 bargaining sessions beginning in February, I really believe on both sides this is a really good example of good faith bargaining. There were a couple times at the beginning, I don't think either party knew exactly what was going to happen. And I think as we got more comfortable in the process, that we realized we'll take whatever it takes to come to an agreement, even if it means bargaining past July 1st, which of course did happen, and as long as it took. So I want to send that level of appreciation out. Really, in summary, both of the parties had items on the table that they wanted, and they each had their baby that they would protect no matter what, on both sides, on ours and theirs. On theirs particularly was adjusting salaries, not just adjust up, but to compensate for things that have happened in the last contract to make up the difference and, you know, perhaps in the first year show a neutral move over in salary and then provide some cost of living increase over the next 2 years. And the counties, like you had seen in our past two bargaining sessions, our big one was the pending care premium coverage for health insurance benefits. This is one of the most expensive staff items any organization has, and when you provide employees with their health care, that's one thing, but when you start extending it to spouses and kids, it becomes prohibitively expensive. And that was our big item, and that was our big win in this contract, is the union was able to get some things that they wanted, and the county was able to get 0% premium coverage for families and for spouses for employees hired on or after July 1st, 2014. And it potentially could come up to $160,000 a year benefit to the county when you look at two other unions that have Me Too clauses that say should one of the unions bargain something higher in health coverage, we will then be able to open and bargain ours higher. So it's really tricky in this because in that regard, you're balancing three unions, not just one. I would say other win-wins on this for both sides was really a balance between our veteran deputies and sergeants and our new employees. We did a cut and fill type of operation where the veteran employees will maintain similar benefits to what they have and similar benefit trends, but that the new employees will come under what we call kind of a cut and fill operation, meaning they will take them longer to earn the salaries and go through the set of steps than veteran employees. For example, veterans have a 7-step salary at 5.3% increase. The new employees will have a 10-step salary schedule at 3.5% increase. I think that's very substantial because it means not only do employees leaving the sheriff's office being replaced with new employees end up on this, but we also earned a provision in here that when an employee promotes to a higher level position, then that employee goes on the 10-step 3.5% salary thereafter. So it's potential that we could have half of the staff or more on this 10-step schedule permanently. And then key elements, I just really in this whole thing, I think this is a contract looking at all of the region. I had compared all of our neighboring counties and counties across Northern Nevada. I compared every single item in the contract, all of their uniform allowances and their shift diffs and all these little items, And really, you can see what you have in front of you is a database contract. It is based on commensurate regional comparisons or regional comparisons as well as others. And in this chance, we all know that we work in an ability to a pay environment. That does make things challenging. The union knows the cards it holds as much as the county knows the cards it holds. And when you have an ending fund balance that is comfortable and healthy, the union knows that if you have ability to pay and you're paying below the region, then they could take it to fact-finding and arbitration and potentially win. So I think in this case, really comparing us with the region, and a lot of counties were low and some counties were a little higher, but if you look at us, we're right about the same territory as all of northern Nevada for the most part. And that's about it. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And I know Mr. Gallagher has some things he'd like to say as well.
Great. You guys have any questions for Austin before?
You think so?
No.
Go ahead, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the fiscal impact, the 3 years for this contract is roughly going to be around $150,000. Now, I say roughly because you can't calculate it to a penny because every single payroll period within the Sheriff's Department is different per individual based upon the difference in what they've got for incentive pays. So consequently, there is a constant recalculation. But overall, general, it's about a $150,000 contract. You can compare that to the potential savings for all three contracts for that we have in place now, and the exclusion of dependent care from that is probably roughly around $160,000 to $168,000. So you're looking at from a money standpoint, obviously. We've bargained something that probably will, this is probably going to be the flag bearer for the state because we're probably the only county that has gone this far and with the cooperation of the unions as far as dependent care is concerned. Now that doesn't set it in stone because as we were discussing earlier, our federal government may in fact come in and say, well, this, you've got to provide all of this as they've tried to do in the past. You can't put a number on that because we just don't know that. But at least, hopefully, we will have some leeway in what we how we approach the federal government from whatever they may or may not try and do. We can't speculate at this point in time because I don't think they really understand what they're doing right now either. But the other side of this is that salary step schedule from. We went from a seven-step or a seven-year step to a 10-year step, which is consistent with what we've been trying to do for quite a while, which then now takes us and spreads their salary, their beginning to their ending to the max salary, and spreads that through 10 years instead of seven. So if I was to put it in a nutshell from an out-of-pocket standpoint, I would say that this is expense neutral. I think this was a tremendous job by Austin Osborne on getting, had to get dirty on this one. We had to go down and the amount of information that he has accumulated from all resources from whatever counties they are. I'll tell you, it was a great work in progress. It's something that we as a county needed to do. I'm glad we did it. Yes, it took a little while, but in the end, we have got, in my opinion, a financially sound document that the county can be proud of, and I think the unions can be proud of also. So that's where I'm at with the fiscal standpoint.
Thank you.
I want to just clarify, and I think Mr. Gallagher meant to say, is that savings that we're talking about, that is over a three contract situation with the Me Too clauses that are in those health benefits. So. I just want to disclaim that through average attrition, general employees, fire, and OE3, that's where that number's coming from, with that Me Too.
Commissioners, any questions?
Nope. Comment that we've spent a lot of time on this. So we're here today, and and having a quick overview, but there's been a lot of hours spent here in this room in private negotiation and informational sessions. Appreciate all the work that you've done to get us to where we are. But I believe we all feel we know where we are today.
Any public comment on this? Mark?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Item number 21. This is approval of modification and extension of collective bargaining agreement between Story County, the employer, and Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association Operating Engineers Union. Number three, today's packet doesn't include the contract which is being included. Floated on. Could I please have a copy of the contract right now?
I'll be happy to answer that. When the bargaining is over with, that contract will become public record. Per 288, technically, we're still in collective bargaining, and until that point, everything has to remain confidential per NRS. So I do understand your concerns, and I apologize for having to keep that confidential.
This is on the agenda today because it's required to.
But it's still fully agreed at this point. It's still technically in bargaining. The commissioners could deny it, for example.
Well, I didn't come prepared to debate that with you today, but boy, I believe this is a violation of open meeting law right now. So let the record reflect that I was denied access to this information today.
So noted. Thank you.
And also with the record reflect that we have consulted on this issue, anticipating this with outside legal counsel. And Mr. Cockrell supports and suggests to pass it off to the statement.
Exactly. Any other public comment? We have a motion on the board.
Motion for approval of modification extension of collective bargaining agreement with Story County and Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, Operating Engineers Level Number 3.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Mr. Phillips, I'd be now happy to provide you that contract.
It's the record reflect that the commission has approved the negotiations have closed. The contract's available through our office.
Correct.
Also, thank you for the immense amount of work you put into this, and extend our thanks to the labor union also for negotiating a good case.
It's been a team effort, and it's great. Been exciting. Thank you.
Right. If the audience will indulge, we're going to take a 5 to 10 minute recess. Thank you.